Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio from Boise, Idaho. This is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. Before we do get started, I do want to encourage you that you can pick up all of my books and ebooks and audiobooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Among the items there are Slime Incorporated, my first ever detective novel available as an audiobook and ebook or as a paperback. And also All I Needed to Know I Learned from Columbo and All I Needed to Know I Learned from Dragnet, which will soon come to audiobook. Check out all of our items at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Michael Shane. The original air date, July the 30th, 1945. The title is Museum Thefts.
The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective. The people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company, present... The Adventures of Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis. In the course of his detective career, Mike Shane has been called upon to track down escaped murderers, to find missing jewels, to recover stolen bonds and sensational diaries. But never before has he been asked to hunt for something 3,000 years old. In his office high in the Rust Building, Mike and his lovely assistant, Phyllis Knight, listen sympathetically to a worried little man, Dr. Frederick Wakeman, museum curator.
Mr. Shane, these thefts have been going on at the museum now for 2 weeks. Some of the losses just wring my heart. You know how today people save the baby shoes of their children, even have them cast in bronze?
Well, yes, but
then realize what it means to me to lose the baby sandals of the pharaoh Ramesses I. Why, I used to hold those tiny things in my hand and think back to the days when they padded around the royal court of Egypt. Yes, 3,300 long years ago.
3,300 years? Why would anybody steal baby sandals 3,300 years old? Unless they were fresh out of shoe stamps.
That's the baffling part of it. The thefts don't make sense. One time it's the court robe of a Chinese emperor. The next it's the original of a love sonnet of Shakespeare or the signet ring of a Russian czar. They're famous. If the thief tried to sell them in New York or London or Bombay, it would be known they came from this museum.
In which case the thief would be caught.
Sounds like to me the work of a pretty clever thief. Dr. Wakeman, do you suspect anybody in particular?
No, how can I? It's bewildering. It's a mystery. The museum is open every day, but we have very capable guards. I believe the thefts occur at night, when only two watchmen are on duty.
Any signs of somebody forcing in a door or window?
No, none that we can recognize. But it's got to stop, Mr. Shane, it's got to. I'm responsible, and there are people who will take advantage of my failure.
Even in a museum, one can have enemies, huh?
This is what I want you to do, sir.
Hmm?
Come out and look over the museum with me. Perhaps spend a few nights there.
Well, that's quite an order, Dr. Wakeman, but I guess we're game. How about it, Phil?
Certainly we are.
All right. Then if you would meet me at the museum tonight in my office, say about 8:30.
Your office at 8:30? Okay, but it's only fair to warn you, Doctor. Every time I go out on a job lately, I seem to wind up with a corpse.
Really? Oh, then you won't be disappointed. You'll find 6 corpses.
6 corpses?
Yes, in the mummy room.
Mike, there's something really ironic about tonight.
Hmm?
For years, I've worked with you, tried and begged and coaxed you to go to the museum with me, and it takes a crime to break you down.
Well, I can't think of a better reason.
Well, I'm excited about it. This case is so different. Imagine sitting up all night with Egyptian mummies and things. What atmosphere.
Uh-huh. Well, right now, I'm more concerned about the atmosphere collecting on our windshield.
Oh.
It's starting to rain, and I forgot to get those windshield wipers fixed.
A night in the museum. A rainy night in the museum. That's even better.
Yeah. Dr. Wakeman, to the contrary, I doubt anybody will try to swipe anything tonight while King Tut is entertaining us.
Do you think we'll have to hide in a sarcophagus or whatever they call it?
Sarcophagus, yes. Well, yes, this is the museum. Ooh, Hug your coat, Angel. There's a wind with this rain.
All right. Oh, it's a spooky-looking old building at night.
Uh-huh.
Only one light showing.
Probably in Wakeman's office. I ain't got nobody. Well, right on time, according to the clock in the tower.
Not very cheerful sounding, is it?
What do you want?
Well, we have an appointment with Dr. Wakeman.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He told me about you. Come on in.
Thank you.
All right, follow me.
Yes, sir.
Mike, that room right ahead, that strange green light all through it.
Egyptian department, mummy room.
Oh, it looks so uncanny. Are we going through it?
Yeah, shortcut to the curator's office.
Mm-hmm. Nice layout of mummies. Reminds me of the morgue.
Ooh.
Hey, Phil, slow down.
Oh, Mike, that mummy standing up, it moved.
Oh, don't be silly. That's a god. Oh. And you talked about hiding in a sarcophagus. Oh.
Curator's office. Right on in.
Thank you.
Sure.
Well, it looks like Dr. Wakeman isn't here.
Well, he's probably around him. Mike?
Yeah?
That big chair with its back toward us.
Yeah, tobacco smoke coming up from it. Dr. Wakeman, eh? Oh, excuse me, sir.
Oh, I didn't hear you. I was reading this manuscript. Oh, I didn't see you, young lady. I beg your pardon, being in my shirt sleeves. I was drying my coat on the radiator here. Ought to be dry now. Yeah, just a little wet, but no matter. Good heavens, is that clock on the desk right?
Yes, it's 8:30.
I'd better phone Wakeman's house and find out what's keeping him. Get me Wakeman. Hello? Arthur? This is Cameron. What's holding up Wakeman? Mr. Shane's waiting here in the office. But he told me to be here at 7:30, and I'm still waiting. Oh, yes, that's possible. All right, Arthur. That's the young professor who lives with Wakeman. Said he left for the museum at 7. He lives just across the street.
Well, he must have stopped somewhere else first.
Yeah, that's what Arthur said.
I'm curious, sir. How did you know my name was Shane?
Oh, Wakeman told me about you on the phone. I'm Professor Cameron, one of the governors of the museum.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm glad to know you. And this is Miss Knight.
How do you do?
How do you do? I hope you people can help poor Wakeman. He's all upset about this trouble in the museum. I suppose that's what he wanted to talk to me about tonight.
I've wanted to see your exhibits for a long time, Professor.
Well, I'm not the Egyptologist here, but antiquities have been a hobby of mine most of my life. I'll be glad to show you anything I can. Oh, perhaps this is Wakeman. No, it's Arthur.
Hasn't he come in yet?
Wakeman? Not yet. Mr. Shane, Miss Knight, this is Professor Arthur Behrens. He's the man you want to talk to about Egyptology.
I'm glad to know you, Professor.
How do you do? I don't understand it. The guard just told me he hadn't seen Wakeman all evening. He must have gone out again.
Well, a little wait won't hurt us.
Pardon me. Do we have to suffocate while we're waiting? It's awfully stuffy in here. Do you gentlemen object to fresh air?
Oh, I'm sorry. I've been smoking my pipe.
Well, I'll open the window just a crack.
What's the matter?
Good heavens. Wakeman.
Hanging behind the curtain.
Well, get him down, quick.
Wait a minute, Professor. We've got to see if he's still alive.
What difference does that make?
If he's dead, we've got to leave him there for the coroner.
He's dead, all right. Oh, how could he be so foolish, so foolish?
You think it's suicide?
What else? Of course, look at him.
I just did.
San Francisco Police Department.
Give me the inspector of homicide.
We'll rejoin Mike and Phyllis and their adventures in just a moment. Here's a tip if you're worried about excess carbon in your engine. Just drive into any Union Oil station and ask the Minuteman for Triton Motor Oil. Why? Well, nearly all carbon formed in engines comes from the motor oil and not from the gasoline. Now, there's a wide variation in the amount of carbon different oils form. So it's logical to buy the oil that forms the least carbon. And that's where Triton comes in. For Triton, and this is a proved laboratory fact, contains less carbon-forming elements than any of the 7 leading premium oils sold in the West. Yes, Triton cuts costly carbon. The reason is that Triton is refined by Union Oil Company's exclusive propane solvent process, a process that removes harmful asphalts, waxes, and sulfur, leaving a pure 100% lubricating oil. An oil that will safely lubricate your car for many hundreds of miles and give added protection against excess carbon. Your engine deserves that protection. You can buy Triton at all Union Oil Minuteman stations. Just look for the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Mike and Phyllis have located the missing Dr. Wakeman, curator of the museum, hanging from a curtain rod in his own office. The inspector has arrived on the scene and questions Mike and the two museum professors.
Now, just a minute. Mr. Shane says it's murder. Professor Barron says it's suicide.
I can't be positive it's suicide, Inspector. But I know that Wakeman was a very morbid man and terribly affected by these museum thefts.
You mean he may be linked in with them? When he saw the things closing in around him, he chose the one way out?
No, no, I didn't say that.
Inspector, just so you don't fall for a phony suicide deal, take a look at that rope.
Uh-huh. See what you mean, Mike. The heads of the rope are all flattened in one direction. It couldn't be suicide.
How could that possibly tell you?
Because we make a study of such things, Professor. When a person is dead before he's hanged, the killer has to haul the body up into place. When the murderer pulled the rope over that curtain rod, the pressure going over the rod flattened all the hairs on the rope.
But who would kill Wakeman? Unless, perhaps, the thief who's been stealing from us.
Obviously. We better question the guards and check up on any clues of burglary.
Dr. Wakeman said he couldn't find any clues after the earlier thefts. But he made a list of stolen articles. Now, if we looked at them, we might get an idea of the type of thief.
I'm afraid you'll have to forget that. Wakeman kept the list in the big safe there. But he was the only one who had the combination.
Well, let's see.
It's unlocked.
We kept some of our most valuable items in that safe.
You and Professor Cameron better take inventory.
Everything looks in its place. A chapter from the Gutenberg Bible, the Greek medallions.
Carelessness, carelessness. Wakeman never put anything twice in the same place.
What's wrong?
This papyrus, any fool can see it's a prayer scroll of the Fourth Dynasty, but the marker says Egyptian Book of the Dead.
Or he just filed in the wrong container. Ah, here's a list of stolen articles.
May I see it, please? Two blue porcelain vases, Ming Dynasty. Jeweled Arabian sword, gold scabbard. Two miniatures, Napoleon and Josephine. Set of Egyptian...
Napoleon and Josephine. Hey, there's a point. Cameron, you remember how Mr. Bradley fought with Wakeman when Wakeman wouldn't sell those miniatures to him?
Yeah.
You're talking about Richard Bradley, the lumberman and art collector?
Yes. A creature wholly without culture who buys rare and beautiful works merely to flaunt the power of his money.
Oh.
But a man with millions wouldn't descend to stealing?
Well, I'm not so sure. Bradley offered Wakeman $20,000 for the miniatures of Napoleon and Josephine. Then he upped it to $25,000.
Yes, I remember. He was bidding against that art dealer, that Francois Lys.
Yes, and when Wakeman wouldn't sell at any price, Bradley got so furious he threatened him. He said he'd come down here some night and slit Wakeman's throat and take the miniatures anyway.
Oh, I discount that. Bradley is notorious for his bad temper.
Still, we can't overlook it, Mike. We got to follow all leads. Sergeant.
Yes, Inspector?
We're going to call on Mr. Bradley. Nobody is to leave this building till we get back.
So Wakeman is dead, huh? Well, well, perhaps now I can do business with the museum. What time did you say he was killed?
We didn't say, Mr. Bradley, but we think between 6:45 and 7:30.
Well, that's lucky for me. With my feeling toward Wakeman, you might be coming here to accuse me of his murder. But at that hour, I happen to be eating dinner at the Mark Hopkins.
May I ask why you're so bitter toward Wakeman?
Number of reasons. Do you realize I offered Wakeman $250,000 to build a new wing on the museum, and he and his board of governors turned it down? Yeah, turned it down, yes. Merely because I wanted my name chiseled over the doorway.
Would another of those reasons be, Mr. Bradley, that Wakeman wouldn't sell you two miniatures of Napoleon and the Empress Josephine?
Yes. $25,000 I offered him.
And I believe when Wakeman refused to sell, you threatened him and said something about coming down and slitting his throat to get those miniatures?
Yes, I said that. Anything else you want to know?
We ask these questions, sir, because those two miniatures were among the articles stolen from the museum.
Well, I hope you find them. And when you do, let me know. I'd still like to buy them.
When we find them, sir, we'll have the murderer of Dr. Wakeman.
I may be able to put you in the right direction.
Mm.
Yeah. Let me take a look out of the window. Yeah, I can see the light in his store. It's still open. He's down just a block from this apartment.
Who?
An art dealer, Francois Lys. Yes, I think he would be a very interesting man for you to question.
Thank you, sir. If we need any more answers, we'll be back.
You know, Mr. Bradley may be a big shot in this town, a millionaire and an art collector. But his heart doesn't pump blood. It's vinegar and arsenic.
Yeah, awfully anxious to pack us off to Francois Lys.
Mm-hmm. That alibi of eating dinner at the Mark Hopkins. I think the sergeant better double-check on that.
You kiddies are a suspicious crew. Now, why would a millionaire commit a murder for two useless miniatures?
Well, we can continue this discussion some other time. Here's Mr. Lee's gallery.
You are looking for something, yes?
Oh, yes, we didn't see you. It's like this. My friends here and I are redecorating an apartment. It's to be in the French style, and I...
So? What kind of an apartment are you decorating? Perhaps a cell at the police station?
What?
You are Monsieur Shane, the detective. This is Monsieur Inspector of the Police and the young lady. She's Mademoiselle Knight. You have come here to ask me about my poor friend, Dr. Wakeman. Alors, it is a great pity.
But
how did you know?
It is simple. One of the guards at the museum, Monsieur Olson, he telephoned me about the murder. So now you come to my studio to look for stolen property. Très bien. My studio, she is at your command.
Well, this isn't exactly what we expected.
There's no need for apology. You will pardon if I go. I am promised to see Madame Van Allenhaven tonight, and perhaps to buy her library.
Yeah, but hold on. Just a minute there.
When you have searched my studio, if you will lock this front door, please. Au revoir.
Well, of all
you've come to my studio for look for stolen property. I am happy to have you.
Yeah, that's what's wrong, Inspector. Mr. Lys is too free. He knows there's nothing here. If he dealt in stolen goods, he was blamed careful not to store them in this studio.
Mike, let's go after him. He's going to tell us a few things.
Wait a minute, Inspector. He's already told us something. A guard at the museum named Olson telephones him that Wakeman has been murdered and tells Lys about us. What for?
Yeah. Lys and the guard must be working this together.
Maybe, but that's what we've got to find out.
And I know how we will find out, Inspector. We are going to search his studio.
For what?
I want a cardboard box, some wrapping paper, and a shipping label. Then back to the museum as fast as we can go.
The sergeant's got Olson in the next room, Mike. You ready for him?
Yes, Inspector. Yeah, now look. This is the way we'll work it. On the desk here, we've got the box all wrapped and addressed to Richard Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
Now, inside, we've planted a Chinese vase that we borrowed temporarily from the museum. We'll call in Olson. We'll tell him we found this box at Lee's studio.
And then when he recognizes it as museum property, we hope he'll get rattled and confess.
Right. Huh? Okay, kids, let's begin the act.
Olson, in here, please.
Olson, we just got back from a little trip downtown. In looking through the studio of an art dealer, Francois Lys, we ran across a package, this box here on the desk.
Well, what about it?
We'd like you to read the label on it.
I don't get what you're driving at.
All right, Olson, I'll read the shipping label for you. To Mr. Richard Bradley. Well, suppose we see what's inside the package, huh? Here we are. Well, very pretty.
It's a vase.
A rare Chinese vase, Olson, from this museum.
Why, huh? How do you...
It was one of the things stolen from here, Olson.
And we know who stole it. We know. Now are you going to talk?
No, I didn't take that. He never told me anything about it.
You admit you stole for Francois Lee.
Look out, Phil!
He came through the window.
I did take... No.
Right through the heart, Inspector.
Sergeant, McCarthy, Dubin.
The side door, Inspector. Come on, this way.
Here into the light.
Holy jumping. It looks like it is.
Francois Lys.
No, let me go. You are wrong.
Inspector, we caught him running for his car. We got his gun. It's still warm and one of the chambers is empty.
No,
No, you do not understand.
But we do, Mr. Leese. You were afraid the guard would talk and you killed him.
But you were just a little too late. He confessed that he was working for you.
All right. Yes, yes, I admit. I killed Olson. But not Dr. Wakeman. No, no, never.
We let a jury decide that.
Inspector, shall I call off all the boys now?
I wouldn't do that, Inspector. This case is not closed yet.
What are you talking about, Mike?
We've caught the man who killed Olson. But the man who murdered Dr. Wakeman is still at large. We've still got one murderer to catch.
In just a moment, we'll return to Michael Shane and his adventures. Friends, the radiator on your automobile plays a definite part in the economical operation of your engine. Like other parts, it needs some attention now and then. You see, the small honeycomb cores and water pipes of a radiator are easily plugged with rust, dirt, and scale. When that happens, the water circulation is impaired, the temperature gauge shouts danger, and the engine loses efficiency. That's why, with the hottest part of summer yet to come, it's a good idea to make sure that the cooling system of your automobile is working properly. And the quickest way to do that is to have your Union Oil Minuteman clean your radiator with Union Radiator Flush. Union Radiator Flush is harmless to metal, but its special solvent action cuts scale and rust right out of choked water lines. Then, with this foreign matter flushed out, the clean water can circulate rapidly and the engine stays cooler. Remember, your Minuteman can flush the radiator while you wait. The cost is nominal, and you'll benefit with cooler summer driving. You can get Union Radiator Service wherever you see the sign of the big orange and blue 76. Mike is certain that the capture of Francois Leese does not solve the murder of Dr. Wakeman. In the office of Dr. Wakeman, the inspector argues the point with Mike and Phyllis.
I'm sorry, Mike. I just don't get your reasoning. Leese admits he and Olson were robbing the museum. He admits he killed Olson to cover up. Then why do you accept his denial that he killed Wakeman?
You just gave me my reason, Inspector. Leese will be convicted for one murder. It will make no difference to him to confess the second killing. That's why I think he's telling the truth.
In other words, Mike, you think the second killing occurred tonight merely because of our investigation of the first killing.
Correct, Angel.
Okay, suppose you're right. Maybe Olson killed Wakeman. They're both dead. One murder cancels out the other.
No, Inspector, no. The murder of Dr. Wakeman was very clever, too clever for Olson to have thought of.
Mike, you must have something in mind.
I have. I was just thinking. When we first started out tonight, we found that safe over there unlocked. Dr. Wakeman wouldn't leave it unlocked with constant thefts going on around here.
Do you think the murderer made him open it?
Well, let's have another look inside that safe. Huh? There's a lot of valuable stuff in there. If we could find it... Wait a minute. That papyrus. The Book of the Dead, remember?
Yeah, sure. The professor said it was kept in the safe.
Yeah, the young one. Baron said it was misplaced.
That's what he said. Now, I'm no expert on Egyptology, but I do know that the Book of the Dead is an extremely rare old papyrus in delicate condition. Now, if you were going to steal it, what would you put it in? How would you carry it?
Well, I see a half dozen long metal cylinders in the safe. I suppose you'd carry it in one of them.
Okay, let's check them.
All of them are labeled. Prayer scroll of Imshet Sup.
Yeah, and record of Noble's War.
Hey, here's one with no label. It's bigger, all dusty and dirty.
What? Let me see that.
Oh, it's even got cobwebs on it. But the safe itself is almost antiseptically clean.
Inspector.
Yeah?
Look at these spots. They're all over the cylinder. You know what made them?
Water spots.
Ah, yeah, water. And I'll bet you the papyrus inside this tube is the Book of the Dead. Okay, Inspector, get everybody in here.
Why, yes, Mr. Sheen, that's the Book of the Dead. We always keep it in the safe.
Yes, as I said, Wakeman must have misfiled it.
Professor Barron, you told us you were studying this papyrus just the other day. Yet now we find it in an old dusty container.
Well, I don't know why that would...
All the other papyrus cylinders are perfectly clean and bear labels. Where did this dirty, unlabeled container come from?
It must be from the storehouse, a building away out back of the museum.
Are there a lot of spiders out there?
Spiders?
Naturally, it's an old building.
All right. I'll tell you exactly how Dr. Wakeman was murdered. This evening he opened the safe for somebody who wanted a look at the Book of the Dead. The only thank you he got was to be strangled to death.
Then the killer hung the body behind the curtain so it wouldn't be discovered immediately.
The murderer needed a special carrying container for the papyrus. So he went out to the storehouse and got one and came back. Time was running short. So temporarily he tucked the papyrus back in the safe, hidden in the new container. It was almost 8:30. He knew Miss Knight and I were due in the office. So he calmly sat down and pretended to be reading. That's when we walked in on you, Professor Cameron.
Why, preposterous. I never heard of
Professor,
such a thing.
Professor, you told us that you came into the museum at 7:30 and spent the whole hour here in the office reading and smoking. It didn't start to rain tonight till almost 8:30. Yet when we came in, you were drying your coat on the radiator.
Well, that doesn't mean
that it means everything, sir. This papyrus cylinder has more than dust and cobwebs on it. It's got spots. Water spots, rain spots. Spots that were collected at the same time you collected them on your coat when you came back from the storehouse after you killed Wakeman.
And as final proof, Professor, all four of us here can see wet cobwebs stuck to the back of your trouser legs.
Does that convince you, Professor?
Yes. Yes, I thought I was so careful. No one could prove...
That's what every murderer thinks, sir. But the murderer is always wrong. He always makes some little slip, some little mistake. Tonight you made yours.
Well, kids, there's my car parked across the street. Now say goodnight and thanks again.
Oh, come on, Inspector. Follow us over to Phil's apartment, huh? She'll fix us some coffee and sandwiches.
Well?
No, I'll do better than that. I'll try out a new spaghetti recipe on you.
Spaghetti?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh, there goes my waistline again. Okay, it's a deal. I'll meet you at the apartment.
Okay, Inspector. We'll see you later, then.
Mike?
Yes?
You know, I still don't get it. Why would Professor Cameron kill a man just to own an Egyptian papyrus that he could borrow any time he wanted to? Now, it seems no motive for murder.
Well, it seems silly to us, maybe. But you remember how sentimental Dr. Wakeman got about those baby sandals of the pharaoh Ramesses?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Cameron felt the same way about the Book of the Dead. But Cameron was inherently dishonest.
Yes, I suppose so.
Cameron buried himself in his work. He isn't married, didn't play golf or dance or go to movies, didn't have any fun at all. Ah, that's dangerous for any man. Now, what are you giggling about?
It sounds like a perfect description of Mike Shane.
Oh, no. No, there's a difference. I may not be married.
No.
May not play golf or dance, but I've got you, Angel, and I do have fun.
Tune in again next week at 8 o'clock for another adventure with Michael Shane, Private Detective, starring Wally Mayer and Kathy Lewis, with Joe Forte as the inspector. Tonight's story was written by Richard DeGraff and based on the character created by Brett Halliday. Music was composed and directed by Bernard Katz. This is John Lang saying goodnight for the people who make 76 Gasoline and Triton Motor Oil, Union Oil Company. Here is a message from our government. It's been a long time since there were any new cars, and naturally we're all excited about them. But let's not forget that it'll be many months before new automobiles are on the market. That means that we still have a pretty serious job taking care of our old cars. More and more cars are junked every day. That places a mounting burden on public transportation facilities that are already overtaxed. Now, a few simple conservation measures will help you keep your car rolling. Join a carpool, check your tire pressures every week, and have tires recapped in time to save the casings. Have your battery checked regularly, and make sure your car is regularly and properly lubricated. Take care of minor troubles before they become big repair jobs. Drive slowly. Speed increases wear. Remember, your car has to last till victory, and then some. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
This is Andrea J. Graham, author of the Web Surfer series, oh, and A Madam's Wife. You're listening to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio.
Welcome back. It really is something to think about and to imagine America unable to get cars more than 3 years. And certainly it was not an immediate process after the end of World War II. So that was a very interesting commercials. Speaking of that, we do turn to some listener comments and feedback. And we start out with actually one mentioning an important occurrence. Kevin says, "Woohoo! I'm number 5,000 to like the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio." Well, thanks so much, Kevin, for liking the page, and thanks to everyone else who's given us 5,000 likes. Regarding Michael Shane, the TV show, Jack comments, "Adam, I really enjoy this TV series. Denning does a fine job as Shane, and I love the Oldsmobile commercials. Keep them coming, Jack." Well, thanks so much, Jack, and I'm glad you enjoyed the Oldsmobile commercials. Of course, not every recording that we have of Michael Shane has the original commercials in them, but it was a treat to find those. It's always nice to see old car commercials just because they had such a great classic feel. I remember You Bet Your Life, their focus was on a car with the DeSoto with a push button driving, which always sounded like an interesting idea, but apparently didn't work as well in execution. But I love it. I'm actually, based on that, inserted one of the cars into one of my stories. So then I have a comment from Marguerite, who writes, "I love the Michael Shane series starring Richard Denning. There have been a few videos on the podcast and app. The series ran for a year from 1960 to 61. There were 32 episodes. Does anyone know how to buy the series? Only a few episodes are on YouTube." The answer, Marguerite, is that there is not an official release. Fortunately, that happens with a lot of the four-star productions series, which was actually Dick Powell's studio, who will be hearing as Richard Diamond coming up in a few months. But a lot of their work, which was actually pretty good, is just not available. I think the only thing I can think of that was related to them at all is the Burke's Law series. Plus, it also has that problem of being a series that is partially still under copyright and partially in the public domain. I think that there's something like 10 or 12 episodes whose copyrights were renewed. The rest are in the public domain. And there are a few scattered DVD sets. We'll just have the same two or three episodes. So you really won't find an official release of the Michael Shane TV series anytime soon, unfortunately. It would probably be more helpful if it was either all one way or all the other. But I don't know why more haven't been released onto DVDs as one or two episodes, because it's a good series, and quite a few episodes of other series such as Mr. and Mrs. North and Man Against Crime have been made. But again, nothing in terms of a wide-ranging release for the Michael Shane series. All right, well, that will do it for today. If you do have a comment, send it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.